minutes past one. Hope you're having a good one. The good news is the Telethon South Australia Home and Land Lottery is open for business. Now, tickets are only $10 and you can win a brand spanking new Rivergum home at Mount Barker. And you'll also be helping 14 charities around South Australia. So today I'm going to introduce you to one of those charities. It's called JDRF and it's a support group for the 120,000 Australians who are living with type 1 diabetes. And we've got a range of people in the studio today I'm really looking forward to having a chat to. First up, we've got Tamara Atchison, who's the development manager at JDRF. How are you, Tamara?
I'm great, Alan. Thanks for having us here.
Fine. Lovely to see you. Also, Kylie Greenfield, who's the mum of Ethan, who has type 1 diabetes. Ethan's not here, but Kylie, he's 12 years old.
He's eight years old, sorry.
I made him a bit older than he is. Thanks for coming in. We'll hear about his story in a moment. And also, we've got Jenna Beeching and her daughter, Chloe, with us. Hello there, ladies. Hi, Jenna.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Hello, Chloe.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
How old are you?
I'm 11.
You're 11 and you're looking a very, very smart, happy little 11-year-old.
Thank you.
But you've had a pretty rough trot over the 11 years. You've got type 1 diabetes, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah? How long you had it?
I've had it for 9 years.
Mm-hmm. And what's it been like?
Well, it's been quite rough when I first started, but along the years it's got easier.
It's got easier. Because you were first diagnosed at 2 years old, weren't you?
Yes.
Yeah. We'll get you to you and your mum to run through that story in a minute, and your sister. Your sister's with us. What's the sister's name?
Paige.
Hey, Paige. Hello. Can you say hello? No, Paige has gone all shy. Listen, well, surprise, we expected that to happen, didn't we?
Yeah.
Listen, let's go back to you, Tamara. Yep. Can you simply outline for us what diabetes is and what's the difference between 1 and 2 diabetes?
Okay, so type 1 diabetes, Alan, is an autoimmune disease. So through no fault of the individual, the body attacks itself, destroying the critical insulin-producing cells in the pancreas. And insulin is needed to remove sugar from the bloodstream. And without it, without insulin, people get very, very ill. So generally, at time of diagnosis, someone presenting with type 1 diabetes would have sugar levels possibly as high as 30s and 40s, when their sugar levels should be in a range of between, say, 4 and 7. Type 2 diabetes is more often associated with lifestyle and diet choices, mm-hmm. probably a higher degree of genetic predisposition. And for type 2, people living with type 2 diabetes, they might start on, say, a tablet. In some cases, they may have to take insulin, but that does not then mean they change to type 1.
Right, okay.
The critical factor in the beginning is that autoimmune response, which is key to type 1 diabetes.
To oversimplify it, type 1 is possibly the more serious.
But type 1 is the more serious. Yeah. I mean, they're both very serious. Because if you don't look after yourself with type 1 or type 2 diabetes, you could run into some serious complications. So insulin and or tablets for type 2 and insulin for type 1 is critical if you are to stay alive, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically. Mm. And as I said, there's 120,000 Australians living with this condition right now as we speak.
That's correct. And the condition has increased over time. We are, out of that 120,000 Australians, probably more sit to the adult space right now. Mm. Those that were diagnosed as children that have grown up, because of course there's no miraculous cure by the time you turn a certain age. And obviously, but we are still seeing many, many children being diagnosed per annum across the country. Mm. Yeah.
Tamara, let's come to you, Kylie, let's come to you, mum of Ethan. Ethan, 8 years old, he's obviously at school today. What's his journey been like and what's it been like for you as a mum?
Extremely challenging. Lots of sleepless nights, lots of carbohydrate counting, lots of fingerprints, lots of needles. It's a really tough gig. There are no breaks. It's something that we do around the clock, day and night. And it's really tiring for the carer and for the child as well.
How many tests do you have to do a day, for example? Prick the finger and do the blood test?
Yeah, look, that can range. Probably on average maybe 6 to 8. But, you know, if there's sickness involved or other issues happening behind the scene, it can be as many as 20. The fingers definitely get a fair workout and it's tough on the body.
How's he coping? How long has he had it?
He's had it 4 years. His anniversary yesterday, actually, was the 4 years that ticked on by. So it's always a tough day, full of lots of emotions. He has his strong moments and then his weak moments where he's very over it and he just wants a cure and wants an end to it all.
What about the support that he gets from his mates at school? Is that an issue?
Look, he's in a really supportive environment at school. His mates are very supportive. He's had mates that have grown up with it since he was four, so since he was very young. Mm. So they've sort of seen day in, day out what's involved and that he has to eat at certain times and he has to have his finger pricks at certain times. And they understand that things are a little bit different for him and are very supportive and caring, and as is his teacher and the nurses at the school.
Other than you've explained, you know, it gets him down sometimes, he's a bit over it, you know, where's the solution to this? Has he had to change his life very much?
I guess it's something that's always there. So whether we're exercising or whether we're at a wedding or whatever the day-to-day routines might be, it's always there. So as much as we can try and do our best to control the situation, there are so many factors that affect blood glucose levels, from emotions to weather to what they've eaten. So we have to be on guard all the time, which is tiring, yeah.
Emotions can affect it.
Absolutely.
Is that right?
Yep. Emotions, growth. I think there's around 40 to 50 factors that can affect sugar levels, not just food.
Right. Yeah. You're balancing, doing a fine balancing act, aren't you?
Absolutely.
You as the carer, you know, trying to nurse him through it.
Yeah. It's a bit like sort of walking that tightrope every day and just hoping that you stay on track. And sometimes you fall off and you've got to work out how to get back on. Mm.
Well, let's come to you, Jenna. You've got your lovely little girls with us. Chloe. We've already talked to you. You were diagnosed at 2 years old. What's it been like for you, Jenna, nursing Chloe through this?
Kylie summed it up perfectly. I completely agree with everything Kylie has just said. Extremely difficult. And I think the thing that makes it the hardest is there is no break. There's no respite at any point from the time you're diagnosed. We're constantly changing CGM sensors or transmitters, or we're doing new infusion sets for the insulin pump that Chloe now wears. And I'd be lying if I said it was easy, even with the technology that we're lucky enough to have. Mm. It's still extremely challenging. And obviously technology comes with its own set of complications that can make it sometimes feel even harder.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting too, the case study, you know, comparing Chloe and Ethan. Ethan diagnosed 4 years ago, Chloe diagnosed at the age of two. So you've been through a real journey, haven't you?
That's right. It felt like a very difficult age. At the time she was in childcare, so we went through the process of educating childcare staff, and then the transition to kindy and educating kindy staff how to keep her safe, and then of course school. And that's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure on the parent, let alone when you pass that over to another adult that's responsible for keeping her safe and well and those sugars within an ideal range. And as Kylie pointed out, you're tired. It leaves you extremely tired. Even a good night, you wouldn't sleep through the night.
Is that right? The
continuous glucose monitor has alarms that go off if Chloe's sugar levels drop dangerously low. Dangerously high, you get alerts. Sorry, if her sugars are rising quickly, dropping rapidly, so it's always beeping for one reason or another.
Mm. Interesting little world you're living in. Okay, Chloe, let's run through it. Diagnosed at the age of two, I believe you spent 5 days in hospital.
Yeah.
What were your symptoms? You don't remember? Do you remember being in hospital at two?
No, I don't remember.
No. Okay. What happened next, though? You ended up getting a glucose monitor, I believe, at the age of eight.
Yes, I've had that since I was eight, and that's helped. It's definitely helped, but, I mean, sometimes it doesn't work. Like, it doesn't show the correct numbers, and it gets a bit confused. That gets annoying.
So what does the monitor do? It's plugged in and it just monitors the glucose level in your blood, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. And why is the glucose level in our blood really important? Do you understand that?
No.
No? Not yet?
No.
Not yet? You just when it gets too high or too low, do you feel that things aren't doing too well, Mum? Do you feel a bit ordinary?
Yeah.
What are the
when
symptoms?
I get high. If I'm quite high, I get sore tummies.
Right.
Yeah. And when I'm low, I feel dizzy, or like when I'm high or low, I feel unwell. But they're mostly the symptoms that I feel.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're pretty ordinary either way, aren't they?
Yeah. Eh?
Then, I believe, at the age of 10, you got an insulin pump.
Yeah.
Which you've shown me.
Yeah.
Now, that's attached to your tummy.
Yeah.
What's that doing?
That is entering insulin into me. It's got a background insulin where I don't need to, like, do anything. That just goes in every hour, I'm pretty sure it is. And or when I eat food or my number's high, I just enter it in and it'll give me some insulin to counteract that.
Oh, so it'll modify the dose it's giving you.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How difficult is that to operate on a daily basis? You've got to be aware of that all the time.
Yeah, it's easy to use once you get used to it. Mm. I mean, at first we had to, like, figure out how much background insulin I needed and stuff, so that was hard bit, but, like, once it gets easier as you go along.
And it's working? You're feeling good these days?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're looking really, really well.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you feel good?
Yeah.
What about at school and the other kids in your class with you and your mates? Are they all really supportive, or do they sort of look at you sometimes and say, oh, you know, what's wrong with you?
No, all my friends are really supportive, and, like, today when I went to drop my brother off to school, they were all going, good luck, Chloe, good luck, and they're really happy for me.
Fantastic. So, nice. So you've got a day off school to come in and talk to me today?
Yeah.
Hey, legend, high five across the desk. Well done. She's not sending you back after this, is she?
No.
No, you've got the whole day off. Listen, happy to take your calls if you've got any experiences along these lines, 8223 00. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll explore more of the story and find out more about the great work of JDRF. It's all in surrounding the telethon SA Home and Land Lottery. Air conditioning.